Blog Talk Radio.
Tricking you guys. I've been doing Thursdays and Mondays and other days just to accommodate the guests. Our guests are very important. They make the show happen. And just want to bring some headlines for you a little bit. Everybody be safe. The new variant is here. It's called IHU, whatever that is or whatever it means. So I don't know any specifics. It just happened today. It's not in the U.S. yet, but you can bet it will be here soon. That's just how they work out. They always start in Africa or England, and then they get here eventually. So apparently they're buying a ticket somewhere on airlines. So screening, does screening really work? I don't know. But anyway, we look forward to our guests. In the meantime, the FAA. Today's the 665th day, 666, of COVID, the pandemic. And this was supposed to be the launch of 5G. You guys thought you had 5G? Well, you didn't. 5G doesn't get here until the 19th. Now it's been delayed because, you know, problems with aircraft interference, you know, with ILS and different things. So that's pretty important when you're landing an aircraft, especially if you can't see what's going on. I have a lot of pilot friends out there that can talk more about it than I can. But the point is, AT&T and Verizon refused to change their mind until the last minute. Actually, it was yesterday, last night. They agreed because of safety concerns. But otherwise, they were going to go straight through with it. They had no intentions of doing it. They come to agreement of some kind, so we'll see what happens on the 19th. So everybody who thought they had 5G, it's not on yet. 5G is a thing of the future at this point. Another headline. Joe Manchin may turn into joining the Republican Party, leaving the Democrat Party because of his thoughts and ideas and what he thinks isn't what's in his party's best interest. So we never know what's going to happen. So that would be interesting because it's really tight right now in the Senate. Imagine if he flipped over to Republicans, they can get things done. They could stop things. Even with the vice president's vote, I won't count anymore. So a lot of good things happening. I think that's a good thing. Soon, I think it's tomorrow, the president talks about the tragedy of 1-6. And I don't know how many times he can beat a dead horse that never happened. So I don't know how he's going to spin this. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of untruths and lies. They're pretty much the same thing, right? It's soft lie, a hard lie, it's all a lie. Isn't that right? It is true. But in the meantime, here in Ohio, the weather's actually been pretty nice. It's been unseasonably warm. Today was like one of the first cold days, but hey, you gotta love, there's no snow. There's no 5 or 6 inches, a foot. I don't know what it's like in Toledo. My Toledo friends have let me know. I lived up there for a few years, and it was completely different than Dayton. Trust me. That's like the winter of 13, we had more snow than 1978. That's how bad it got. It was to the point you can't see the freeway and everything was icy and nobody could clean up, you know, ahead of time. A lot of bad things happened, a lot of accidents. And even the mayor, when I was up there, died after shoveling snow. So it's pretty serious stuff. And that's why I like to move. I want to move to Florida where I did my vacation for Christmas. That would be ideal because I don't think there's that much snow down there. And I would thoroughly enjoy it. A lot of good things happen when there's no snow. When there's sunshine and palm trees, you just got to love it. I'm that kind of person. So while we're waiting for our guest, I'd like to talk about things that are happening currently right now in this country that I'm kind of concerned with, not including inflation, but things that are just totally out of control, travel. Travel, I mean, that's one of the things I probably have to kiss goodbye, because since I'm not going to get the shot, I'm going to have to forego a lot of those things. That's why I drove, one of the reasons I drove to Florida. It's just a hassle, you know, and I agree with Delta. Why should we have to wear a mask? They don't think you should, because the cabin is filtered, right? You can fly all day long and not have any problems, or that's usually what happens. You haven't heard of an outbreak on an airline. I've never heard of that before. I don't know if anybody's seen that. And notice the airports are the same way. Nobody has a breakout at the airport. And that's where I'm going to say, this major airport. We have, I don't know how many flights going in there, but one airline, I can give you that figure. You got, 50 people on a jet. They got like 8 jets at Charlotte, maybe 10. 500 people, and you got all these other airlines coming through, and people are mingling through the concourses and getting off the planes, and the plane probably flies like 5 times a day. So you have all that traffic going through. I think it was, an old stat was like 70,000 people in the air in a day, and all those people go to all those airports, and they transfer all their germs and everything. You can't be that careful, and the masks don't work, and nobody's wearing gloves, and they give you these little wipes when you get on the plane so that you can wipe your seat down. Nobody does that. I didn't do it. I didn't see anybody doing that. And the seats aren't exactly vinyl, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like worthless, because, you know, those regional airlines, they don't clean the planes after the flights. You have to clean it yourself on some of these airlines. And this was United that I flew on. United, Nazi Airlines, because they were telling us, below the nose, you'll be kicked off. And our flight attendant was kind of upset at anybody who did that, and she enforced the law all the way, you know, the entire flight. That was our leg to Oklahoma City. Point is, I get on the plane. I know I take my chances, but I've already had COVID, and you can't live in fear. And it's something like the common cold. You can catch the cold anywhere, too, but you got to keep yourself, you got to keep your health. You got to keep your vitamin levels up. You take a multivitamin every day, whatever works for you. And stay reasonably healthy. Take walks, whatever you have to do, whatever exercise you can get, and you'll fly through this with flying colors. It's not rocket science. It's just like any other thing, everything else. You have to prepare yourself for whatever you're going to go through. What are you going to do? So, I mean, it's just that. That's just the case. And you know, like all the people working there and handling your luggage, there are so many other factors involved when you fly and when you drive. So when you fly, all the baggage handlers underneath the aircraft and the marshals, all these people, they always go through the airport, and they're always handling everybody's bag for every flight, every day. The people at the counter. I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong, but you never hear of an outbreak. I just think that's strange. Driving. As a matter of fact, we spent a week down in Florida for Christmas to visit my daughter down there. She's down there with her husband. Hi, Marianne. Anyway, we're coming back, and on the way down, we stop at these places. We got to, you know, walk the dog, you know, get some food and, you know, get some gas, and then we stop at these places where there's hundreds of people, you know, going in and out, thousands a day. So we decided to, when we got home, you know, take a break from the public for a few days. I think that's responsible. I know there's so many people out there that may have something. And, you know, as a matter of fact, my mother got it while we were gone. It wasn't from us, but, you know, some other source. But you have to remember, we're all humans. That's what we're made to do. We were supposed to be out there. We're supposed to mingle with others. We're not supposed to be separated or wearing a mask. And, you know, we're supposed to be creatures of we're supposed to be together. We're all humans, and that's how we interact. Just like our kids, you know, they interact with their kids, and they're not going to die because they get the virus. You know, They're perfectly healthy, and they're all the way up to age, what, 25 or something? So there's no panic. So we don't need to put draconian laws on people and shut down cities. Whole cities are being shut down. New York, you don't have the shot, you don't eat. You don't go to restaurants. You don't have a job in some cases. It's just you versus a threat. And we're turning into, just like California, we're turning into a, we call a, maybe a dictatorship, not quite, but definitely taking your rights away. And the most important thing is you have a right to catch the virus and die. And that's basically what this is all about. But they're taking those rights away from you. If you want to get, do whatever you want to do, as long as you don't harm anybody else, you keep your own property. Property is used as freedom, interchangeable. Happiness is property. Then society can still function, and we can actually achieve immunity. Herd immunity doesn't come with shots. Herd immunity comes with everybody getting together, spreading it, and become more immune to the disease. And that was never allowed to happen because, you know, people believe in things they really shouldn't because you don't know. You don't know what medications, vaccines, anything like that are going to do to your body. Nobody knows. All this stuff, I don't care if it even works. If it's something that they tell you to take or they threaten to give you, then that's just a red flag for me. I can't understand why people don't see that. And I guess it's because I don't watch TV. I very rarely, anything in the news, I never listen to. I do radio. Especially love old-time radio. You saw my post on Facebook, but I don't listen to the news because I can't get past all the stories, exaggerations, and things like that. It's just me. I've always been that way. I've never been even, you know, like, I think the only thing that plays on our TV are game shows, the family watches, and that's about it. Unless it's old radio, old TV, you know, they have the MeTV and everything. I love those kind of things because it's just people being people. Nobody's in the panic mode, and, you know, things like this Omicron variant came out and people started panicking, and it's like, is it really like that? How do you know? How do you know this is actually happening? How do you know there's actually a variant out there where you can't even test it? That doesn't make any sense. You can't test something you don't have a test for. But you can identify it at the right time. That doesn't make any, doesn't compute to me either. And I know quite a bit about logic and how things work, and this just doesn't add up to me. And I'm happy to say, not really happy, it's kind of sad that I'm kind of glad I got out of the military when I did, because I'd actually be retiring this year if I stayed in. And there are a lot of things I really don't think I would like. And, you know, it was like that a few years ago, around 2008 to 2015, it was pretty brutal, the things we were given. And we had to, you know, take into our training, and it didn't make any sense. It was all about respecting females and accepting, you know, transgenders and things that have nothing to do with the military. So when you're in a military environment and your job is to, you know, kill people and break things, that has no place for it. There's no experimental things that could happen there. And I think this is a detriment to the military structure, because a lot of people are like, why are we doing this? What is this for? Our job is to fix planes, put them over the target, and return home safely. This has nothing to do. People who don't know how to treat other people correctly, or, you know, people who have to be taught how to treat people, females, transgender and everything, then they have another problem. Mutual respect, that's a military thing. It's a big deal. Respect rank, people are your assets. And I hate to say this, military people are their assets. their instruments, or they call them GIs, government instruments. They have no rights. They have no opinions. They do what they're told. But at the same time, these decision-making for the goal of the mission, everybody has the same mission. That's the thing, you know. But now they're making these guys and gals and everybody else, in-betweens or whatever you want to call them, they're making them take this shot. Except there's bright news, because there are 7 states that are not allowing their National Guard to get the shots, because they see things happening and they're putting a halt to it. It's not going to be mandatory. So there's very big implications there. So are they worldwide qualified? Those are my questions. Can they be deployed? I don't see why not, because that's a box you don't have to check off. And it's not like it's a threat from the front. It's something that's not really going to really, I don't understand how this has anything to do with military readiness. It actually does not. It's not one of those things that, like, measles, mumps, rubella, or your tetanus. This is something that is so survivable. And these guys are in great shape. Generally, everybody has to pass their physical fitness test every year. If you can't, you're gone. You're out. And, I mean, that's just the way it is. It's not anything to do with whether you're going to catch a cold. Yeah, they get flu shots. I didn't like the flu shots. They never bothered me. Some people get sick after they have them in the military, but I was one of those old guys where it was a nasal thing and it wasn't a shot. I mean, it's just one of the things you had to do, but it wasn't anything like what we have right now with the Omicron or the whatever it is, whatever variant there is. And it doesn't really matter. You got Navy SEALs. You got all these people. I mean, those guys are like at the top of their physical fitness. Those people can fight that off, just shrug it off real easy. So it doesn't really impute to me. There's no logic in it. The people who are most susceptible are over 70 or in their late 60s, or anybody has any kind of ailments or comorbidities. Trust me, you have to be able to run for miles to be in the military to be so good. Once you lose that, then that threatens your career. So these guys are in shape. These guys are not going to suffer. You probably won't hear many military guys that will die from that. So this doesn't make any sense. But you are seeing athletes. You're seeing all kinds of people that are dying in their 20s after they get the vaccine. This is kind of alarming, because I understand, like, I was listening to a program where they say deaths are up 40%, well beyond the 2% that we've been told, you know, by the CDC and the various reports and everything. So numbers are staggering. Disabilities are up long-term, short-term, beyond what, I mean, it's overwhelming the system. There are people who are totally disabled after taking the jab, but they never associate that together. It's usually something else, where they die of natural causes when they do die. There's a lot of athletes, especially in Europe. I think they took the AstraZeneca mostly. But the bottom line is, these guys were healthy. These guys are at the tip top of their physical shape. These guys had no qualms, no problems, no limitations. They were, you know, beyond the average human limits. You know, this guy, all they do is run across the field, play soccer, football, whatever they call it over there, and they're dying, having heart attacks on the fields. And it's coming to this country, too. I bet there's some here, but we just don't know about it. But there's all kinds of videos out there, and it's scary. I know people have heart problems that are related to me. I lost 2 cousins after they got the shots. They had, well, I'm assuming they were heart failures. I know one for sure, longtime cousin from my childhood, and she passed away, had a heart attack. And a little too young for that. So there's so many coincidences, so many anecdotes that you hear about, and so many things that you don't hear about. There's more things we don't hear about than we do hear about. So we have to be careful when considering getting the shot and then the boosters. And, you know, you hear about people that used to work at Pfizer and all these companies. They will tell you, they're out now telling people this is what's in it. We call this the obedience device, not the shot kind of things. And I don't like to be a conspiracy theorist, but this is very serious. And when it hits home, it becomes more serious. And you know, these people, I know so many people who got the jab and they get COVID anyway. And it's not the light version like we're telling. It's hardcore. You have to be careful not to think that you're you can't get it or anything, because you just don't know. Because for me, seeing is believing, and this is what I see. I'm seeing this a lot of places, and you have always, mine always goes to, I wonder if they got that. I wonder if they got the shot. I don't know. Some people say they did, and I've talked to people that, hey, I got this, and now I have this, and people are angry. I know two people I talked to a couple weeks ago, they're very angry that they got COVID after. And they've got the boosters. They have the whole series. You know, they've got stars and medals, and, you know, they got the stickers. And now they're like, how did I get it? How is it? But nobody told them. Nobody made that clear. They didn't read the labels. Things weren't available. They didn't have the testing done. This is one of the problems. When you're going to do this kind of stuff, you have to have this together before people are able to accept it. But the government, if the government says it's okay, then it's okay. And I know from years and years of experience, the government doesn't do many things right. That's actually one of the titles of my next book coming out soon. So, yeah, that's when the government gets involved, it's not a good thing. Usually government doctors, government attorneys, government this, that, and the other, they're really not the best. I have a very long story I'm not going to share here, but I had government doctors. They were in the Air Force, and there were other doctors, VA, and they figured things out well enough for me. I had a civilian doctor that figured a year and a half in treatment, and my civilian doctor figure it out right away, because that's what they do. You can't do that. You don't have the experience when you're a military doctor. And by the way, my military primary doctor was actually a sheet metal mechanic before he became a doctor. So in the military, how this works is they take 1,000 people, put them into school in San Antonio, and whoever comes out is a doctor, is a PA. And so the care level is not the same. And nobody actually joins the military to become an attorney or to serve as an attorney. The good ones don't do that because there's no money in it. Same thing with the doctors. You have to wonder. And speaking of that, let's talk about the National Guard, because I have a problem, and I kind of – this is like something that doesn't make any sense. Another thing that doesn't compute is this. You have the government – lending National Guard doctors and nurses to help hospitals. Well, the thing about the National Guard is this. All those doctors and nurses are actual doctors and nurses, some of them at hospitals. It might be ER doctors, whatever. So you're taking them away from the other hospitals to supplement the other hospitals. So that there's a zero-sum game. So instead of hiring back the doctors and nurses you had before, you're going to try to push these guys for being overworked. They got places to be. You can't keep them on deployment a long time, you know, the long time like you did guys in D.C. You can't do that. These guys have a life, and it's not wartime. I think they're being used in the wrong way. I know they say everything's happening here, but it doesn't make any difference. They're not making an impact because they can't, because they're already doctors and nurses. They may have got their doctor's degree or whatever, the MD and everything, and the nursing in the military. Some are weekenders. They're not proficient, like, you know, your regular medical people, the ones that aren't full-time, but it doesn't make any sense. They're not for that purpose. They're supposed to be wartime doctors and combat. I've used that before, and they get the job done, but they're not the same people. Very few are. There are some that are the elite. We have to rethink what we're doing before we do something. And I think this is a problem with what's going on right now with the government running our hospitals. It's not their job. Like I said before, bring back the doctors, bring back the nurses. Those are the people that know your hospital. They know your policies. They know what to do. They work together. They're teams. The teams that have been torn apart. Why? Because they required them to get shot. And a lot of people, if you've had it, you're okay. There's no need to go any further. I mean, that's what happens. Nobody gets shots for flu to prevent it, because that's not 100% either. So individuals, in the first place, live under the Constitution. I think we still have it. I think it's still there. I think it's still somewhere made in stone or inside of something in D.C. because something that we probably don't teach much anymore. I'm not really sure about that. Maybe you guys can tell me. But the Constitution frees us from tyranny. And this is what this is. Tyranny from the government telling you what to do. And threatening. It's not just telling, it's threatening. Just like Australia. This is crazy. You know, they're doing this in Canada, too. If you come from Canada from another country, they put you in a COVID hotel if you test positive. And I guess I was watching some video where the woman that was put in jail didn't even test positive. It's something they did, and she finally got out, and she said it was a nightmare. So they're doing all this stuff for nothing, really. If you got the Australian people in camps in, I can't remember what city it is, they can't leave their porch. They got like so many few hundred square feet they can live in, and as soon as their time is up, they can leave. Nobody has a right to do that, and that's a different country. You know, I didn't expect that from them. They're isolated. You know, it doesn't matter if they have it there. And then you got this thing on the other side where, think about vaccinated places in the world have all the breakouts, huge breakouts, just like the cruise ship or cruise ships. Everybody's vaccinated just to get on it. And guess what happens? Breakouts. Then they can't let the ship come on shore. Then people are stuck there until it all goes away. But how does that happen? If this is the outbreak of the unvaccinated, it doesn't make any sense because that can't be true. I think it's just outbreak of whoever. Because you know how they say, well, you can... if you're vaccinated, you can just be 5 days, 3 days, 1 day, you know, away. You know, and then if you're not, you have 10 days or whatever. So the less logic in that statement is a person doesn't matter if they're vaccinated or not. They can carry anything on their person, on their clothes, you know, on their steering wheel, all these places. So there's no difference between physical properties and you have some kind of virus on it, that doesn't matter. You can carry it anyway, anywhere, anybody can. So it's like all the unvaccinated have like this big halo. Remember Charlie Brown where the guy with the dirt all over him? That's what they think unvaccinated people are like. They're just reeking and spreading the virus even though they don't have it, which makes no sense either. So all the logic that goes into New York City, out in California, New Jersey, all these states, they're locking people down. Lockdown, the word lockdown, that should be scary to everybody. All these things make no sense. There's no logic behind them at all. So if you believe in logic, then you can't believe in the science. The science is not logical. The mask alone does not protect you. It can't protect you because you're not protecting yourself. And you don't know how to take the mask off, and you never learn how to decontaminate yourself. If you really want to decontaminate yourself, you have to have somebody help you, and you got to have a shower you go through when you go home. It's just not feasible for the general public. The military does it all the time. It's just not possible. You have to have facilities, and you have to have, you know, people and teams, and you have to have somebody completely covered in a chemical suit to uncontaminate you to make sure you're good. So you're already contaminated. Your hands are completely contaminated when you leave the house, when you go somewhere. Your eyes are. I mean, it's everywhere. People don't understand. The mouth is not the only point of entry. And when you take that mask off and it's contaminated, you're already done. You're finished. There's so many violations I see. And people take your temperature. They're too close to you. And that's one of the things that bothers me. It's like, if I have a temperature, I'm not going anywhere. Why do they think, that's going to work? It doesn't make any sense either. If your fever is high, you're probably not going to feel good enough to go traveling or going to visit places unless you're going to pick up some medicine or whatever. But it doesn't really make any sense. Does that make any sense? I think it does. But that's the world we're living in right now. We're kind of like we're buying stuff before it happens, which doesn't mean anything to anybody. We're buying into fear when fear is not productive. We can't be fearful. Even the Bible says that, don't be fearful. We're accepting it as normal, which I think just is going to lead to more fear and more tyranny, because the Constitution says that we have inalienable rights given by God, not by the government. The government can't justify locking anyone down. They can't justify you getting a shot, making you take it, or even suggesting. The mandates are not laws. They can't make that law. This is why everything's getting caught up in court, because these attorneys know, most people know, this is bogus. I haven't used that word in a long time. I used to use it all the time. This is a totally bogus pandemic. People are getting sick, yes. People are hurt, of course. People are dying, yes, they are. But less than the flu and everything else, all these other ones, this is like the lightest in the history of mankind, even the most deadly versions of it. And being covered by what may be the result of the vaccine. There are more people dying there that you'll never hear about in the trials. I think they lost, 1,000 people in the 90 days of trials they started, or the first test. But they don't talk about that. And that should have been stopped, right there and then. And they're ignoring the real cures. The real cures are gone. You have to get them yourself. You have to find them. And everybody's playing this game where, what can I do? No, there are a lot of things you can do if you have the shot. There are lots of cures for that. A lot of things that will reverse that or stop anything from happening, like the spike proteins, but you have to do your own research. And that's what this game is about, research. And I've done that for a long time. I do some medical hacking, and that's how I got through. COVID with my family was down. I just had minor things, and it didn't bother me really. I was still able to function. I wasn't sleepy or anything. It was just I took care of them. Why? Because I was leveled up. And that's the way it should be. That's why I said that at the beginning of the show. We have to be proactive. We have to be the people that help others instead of being helped by others. And it's unfortunately, it's sad. And we have friends that have died and moved on, passed on, and or they're disabled. They can't take care of themselves. And I've done that after I had it. I helped my next-door neighbor. Recovery, got things for him. And once you've had it and you're not vaccinated, you don't get it again. And I can prove that. I've been over there like 5 or 6 times, dropped off groceries and everything, and never had an issue. and neither do the rest of my family. So just have to be careful and smarter than the disease. Smarter than the disease. That's what this is all about. This is how you solve problems. You have to think your way through. Does this make any sense? Is it possible that they're not telling us the truth? Because, you know, one of the big things is, you probably don't know this, but I heard this Pfizer, that CNN, most of the major media, they give them money for all their events and everything, charities and you know, just like pageants, they give the money out because they have it. So nobody's going to talk bad about them. And I think the worst thing, the biggest thing that leads to tyranny, in my opinion, and I've talked about this before on other shows, is the media. If the media is not honest, then you get what they give you. And people take that because, you know, a lot of older people in our country remember when everything in the news was true. Not everything in the news is true or accurate anymore. It's got some kind of slant to it. And, you know, they twist other stories, the ones they want, and they give you sugar-coated stories of the things you shouldn't want, you shouldn't need. And that's how they get through. That's how they get their messages through. That's how things are hidden. Things are conveniently twisted to where, oh, okay, I guess that's okay. Or maybe he is a racist. Or, yeah, maybe that whole party's racist. Well, you can't generalize people like that. You can't paint everybody in the same box, just like everybody thinks, not everybody, but there are people who think black people are all the same. And I think our president thinks he thinks we're all the same, too. We don't have a mind of our own. We just vote Democratic, or we just do this and that. And that's really insulting, and I'm very surprised that we didn't come back. Black people of America didn't protest. They just went along with it and laughed. Should all be in chains? Really? Should we? Is that what you think? And you're the leader of the free world. You can't pull people out of Afghanistan, but you're a black person of authority, which, no. Things like that, just, I mean, because it's the media. The media is making that happen. Joe Biden is friends with all the black people. Prove it. You can't prove it. You can't prove anything. Donald Trump hates black people. Prove it. What do you have? What's your fact? So many black people went to the White House, and I know a lot of them. A lot of my friends have been there, went there, and, you know, because they were invited. I can count on five hands all my friends that went there, Hispanics. My friend Jesse Hogan went there. Donovan Larkins, who's a guest. Gary Benford. I can go on and on. Brandon Tatum. All these people. They went there. Oh, and Lucretia Hughes, of course. And our husband Dave. And they have pictures over Facebook. And they got Media Day that the media, you know, the mainstream media doesn't cover ever. They went there for HBCUs business propositions and the zones that the president was proposing. And I've had my friends that were attacked by, or their families were attacked by illegal aliens. Doobie Walden and all these other friends that I have, and they've been there because they were invited. The president wanted them there. But that doesn't sound like he's racist. It doesn't sound like he hates them like you hear about on TV. It actually sounds like he was connecting. And remember before he got elected, he said, well, let me show you. If you elect me, what do you have to lose? And that's what they did. Then he got historic numbers in the midterm that you could probably say was stolen. I don't know. They stole that election. You could say that. The more people vote than exist. So I think that's pretty clear. and that is has happened in other states. But getting off that subject, we have to remember what we're dealing with. And in my opinion, and I've said this before, the number one enemy of the state is the media, because their job is protect. They should be war hawks and watchdogs, especially thinking about Afghanistan, what happened there. Totally, totally botched operation. There's no excuse. I mean, everything was handed to you. The plan was there, left behind, and you just let it go. How is that even possible? Why should we trust you with anything else? Well, now we have China and Russia taking advantage of it. At this point, at this very point, Taiwan, Philippines, Ukraine, all these places. And you have, let's see, what is that, Korea. You have all these things happening because of what? Because of the ineptness of a whole administration. I'm not going to blame it on one person, because the whole administration failed on that. And you can say excuses like, oh, that was 2 weeks ago. No. That's your job. I'll tell you what, I could have done a better job than that. If it was by myself, I could do it by myself on that program and do a better job than Biden did, because he didn't think. He didn't. He let the Taliban make decisions for him, and he got hoodwinked. Incredible. I never thought I'd see something like this in my lifetime. As a military guy, I could have made a better plan. Doesn't make any sense. Unless you wanted it done. I'm not saying you did, but I mean, that is a possibility. If you believe in logic, you got, it's either this or it's that. There's no in between. His spokespeople cover for him. The press isn't all over it. They're starting to turn on him a little bit. His ratings are so low now. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, he earned them too. Isn't that funny? Things you earn, you don't really think of negative, but I believe that he earned his ratings. So Biden's ratings are tanking huge. I think he's almost under Kamala Harris. So I don't know if he can go any lower. What can he do to do that? I think that's why Manchin's trying to get out right now. He's getting out of that party. So, you know, and that's the other thing. You know, it's like that, this Build Back Better plan, which is not going to happen now. Looks like what they do is, we're working on this. We're working on the two people, you know, that are refusing to follow the line. So we're going to, they might as well say, we're going to go out and threaten them, and we're going to take things away. We're going to do this, that, and the other to them. That's what they mean by negotiation. According to the Constitution, their job, they owe their allegiance to each state, the state that they're in, not to Congress, not to the Senate, not to the President. This is not a mafia, but clearly it is. It's clearly intimidation. And this is the old school. This needs to be broken. So I have a plan, and I was talking to Randy Perm about it a couple weeks ago. The plan is this. And I told Randy, you got to do this law when you get in there, when he gets into the Alaskan Congress. The bill should be this. Everybody should have to pass a security clearance to keep their job. It's got to be done, you know, by the same authorities. Instead, they're given their security clearances when they get into Congress, which makes no sense, because everybody else, everybody in the world, contractors like I am, or military people, or federal workers who work on projects like that, have to have this long, drawn-out clearance for top secret. I got mine after 6 months, all right? It took me a long time. They asked everybody and my brother, except for my brother. They didn't ask him anything that I know of. People would come up to me, hey, get your clearance. The guy asked about it. I was like, I didn't know. They didn't put your name down, but they would link people together. They would go to houses next door They want to know who your neighbors are. We have foreign neighbors, and they question me, and they question other people why I left the country a lot. And the fact was I was in the military. That's what we did. But the point is this. They have no clearance. They have no investigation, no time. All right, your congressman, here it is. And this is why we have spies, Feinstein. We have spies with Eric Swalwell. And we have people like McConnell and his wife with shipping containers, Nancy Pelosi, and, you know, insider trading. Everything happens up there based on greed. If you bring that legislation, I'd love to put it up for it. Anybody who has nothing to hide will vote for it. That's the point. The people that have everything to hide, you're going to know who they are. Once you get those votes, why would you vote that down? Because it's required for everybody else. You took the oath to defend this country from enemies, foreign and domestic. They should add, and in Congress. In my opinion. Why? Because that's where our top enemies are. And I talked about this in Naples in a speech last year. And the truth is, people who do that stuff are enemies of the Constitution. People are enemies of our country. These people who are allowed to do things that nobody else can. And that's why Nancy's in there. She's 80-some years old. She's there. She's making billions. She's got a lot of money she's putting on AMC and other. Everything Nancy does, everybody go out, get her portfolio, bet on it. It's a sure win because she has a 10,000% success rate, which is higher than any hedge fund or anybody can make because she's got all the inside information. They call her. They pay these congressmen and senators. I think, one South Carolina senator got $4 million from a hedge fund. They're paying off these people so that the laws won't catch them. But I think things are changing. The tide is changing because it's starting to wreck our economy. It's starting to wreck our, our stock market. Market crash are coming. So this is very important that we fix this. This is the reason why we have, a lot of the reasons we have these problems, because of greed. Money is everything to some people. You can't get enough. There's never enough money. For some people, there never will be enough money. And why? Because that's just the way it is. The love of money. It's not the money. It's the love of money that caused people to be evil. And the Bible warns us this, and this is exactly what's happening. Every day, more ways to make more money, more ways to bring something down. We got to create a war so we make money there. Send the soldiers out. They'll fight the war, and we'll reap billions of dollars. So we have people in Congress that are actually doing that in the Senate. Go to these countries and start these things. They're still in. I'm not going to mention Lindsey Graham. That's not his real name. You'll probably figure out who I'm talking about. And all these other people who, like they say, the industrial war complex, these are the people that make money, like the Cheneys and all that. They're Blackwater and all this stuff. These things come out of legislation. They go into behind the scenes, and things are happening. Something they want. This is why, one of the reasons why I really didn't believe what was going on with the, you know, the vaccines and the virus and everything, because everything seems like a setup. And I, you know, you've been in the military like I have. You can see the setups happening. So you see other people. This is like another country. This is like almost a country without a constitution. And this is what we get for that. And this is what you're seeing on TV. You're seeing in the shelves of the stores and things like plan shortages and things to have you rely on government to survive. This is what happens. These are the kind of things that people do to break people down so that they would submit. And this is what's happening. You take away my job so I get the shot. I don't care if you get the shot. That's your business, right? But you can't coerce people like that. You can't threaten them because they don't want it. So that right there is a problem because of our Constitution. But like I said, do we still have a Constitution? I don't know. Do we? So let's see here. Ruben Bay. So you can give us a call. Give me a call here, 347-637-3942. Still waiting for my guest to arrive. He may not show up. So I'm tap dancing now, 347-637-3942. Blog Talk Radio, Patriot Nation, American Legion Show. Kevin White, your host. So this is the thing that a lot of people don't understand. People who are blindly watching and trusting the science. You know, that really rubs me the wrong way. The science. Trust the science. How do you trust the science? I mean, I remember science lab in school and everything. I hated the Bunsen burner and all that other stuff. I don't trust it. No, it's all hypothesis. The story behind science is hypothesis. Is it real or is it not? How do you know? You're guessing at it. So the best you can do, if I see something, yeah, it's different. But I'm not seeing what we were told originally, where people were just dropping dead in the streets of Wuhan after eating that bat and the virus spread. And that was fear. That was total fear. And then you have, you know, pictures from events that, you know, existed years ago. They're using it as common, where you have all these hospitals that are loaded to capacity. There was a guy in Dayton, Ohio, that was going from hospital to hospital, going to the lobbies, and there's nobody there. There's no patients. And he was saying, hey, where is everybody? Where are the patients? You guys are lying to us. Next hospital, where is everybody? And this was like, I was on YouTube. It never made the news, of course, because that would destroy the narrative. But it was funny to watch because the nurses were like stunned. They have time, the nurses, to do all these dances and all these fun things on video. Another thing against the nurses, right, or the doctors. But some of these places, I mean, they had a lot of stuff going on. They had bodies and big people that were rolling in for the camera, and the camera would go off, and the person would walk off the gurney. You know, they have people have footage of this. So, yes, you know, in some ways, deaths are serious, but some things are just not right. They're kind of funny to watch because, oh my goodness, this is it. This variant is the one, and it turns out not to be. There's so many things that you have to do. I mean, just like I said earlier, to travel, you got to get what? Who was 72 hours? You got to get tested, like I did for my trip out west, and then now it's down to one day. How hard is that? It's too hard to do that. I think I had relatives that were flying, you know, to another country, and there are so many people in line. They didn't make it. Why? Because you can't do it all in one day. You can't test as many people, which brings me to the PCR test. I never had it. I just had the regular, you know, rapid test. And the PCR test, according to the person who made it, it was never designed for that. It was something that was inaccurate. False positives, false negatives. As a matter of fact, my daughter got that test. My wife had COVID. She has had the same symptoms. She tested negative. And I told her, look, you need to go get tested again because that can't be true. I know you have it. The next test, she had it. So there's things like that that make you wonder. If you're going to have a test, make it something that, you know, that – but it's actually true. So, and my theory was, I never wanted to get the PCR because of where they stick it in your nose. You know, think about this, that rod goes up there and it touches your way up in there. So I would have said, take it from my saliva because it's the same thing. Everything that's up there runs down into my mouth. That's a fact. So why can't they do that? There's something else behind it. Just my opinion. So, I mean, it's like I said, here's another logical point. It's all the same. There's no difference. That's my DNA. it's the same fluid and everything. You know, if you have post-nasal drip, you know how that works. We used to have that. So we're playing a game. We're playing a game against big money and the government. And that's sad to say, but it's true. We don't have a choice because the powers that be have the power right now. Mandates. I mean, that really bothered me because mandates are not laws, but yet everybody's going for it. And I was really sad to see the military jump on that and to see all these hospitals and everything, because the heroes of yesterday are now the unemployed of today, the ones that didn't submit to that. You know, fortunately for me and other old people, I mean, I don't have to have a job. I can retire. I have an income. But there's a lot of people who don't. And a lot of my friends had to take that shot because they had to feed their families. They had no choice. And, you know, like there are contractors. Now contractors are not even in the game right now because of the court filings in Kentucky, Indiana, and Ohio. And there is a federal ban for all the contractors now that started on December 7th. So we have to deal with consequences because there are a lot of them that got the shot, and now it turns out they don't have to. So keep those spike proteins down with dandelion root tea. It contains serenin. Same thing with pine needle tea. That will stop the spike. It's one of the medical hacker things. You got to treat your body the right way. Alkalinity is the key. Keep your alkaline levels up. Otherwise, turn acidic and you become sick. And that's how that works. So what we have to do is be vigilant, like I said. Your health is everything you have. So anything that happens, you have to make sure that you're able to get through it. And that is preparedness like a Boy Scout, right? Not really. But we have to think about what we're doing and where we're going. I take care of myself well enough to where I don't really care. I don't fear getting anything. I'll touch whatever. I have the ability to knock things out. I mean, I was just to say when I started taking certain things, I'm bulletproof, and it's proven to be true. So because I know what I do, I know what the secrets to the body are. So that's what I do. I stay there. I keep it there. And it works for me every day. I have my wife and daughter going through the same routine now after they got over COVID, and it works. Oh, yeah, by the way, it's 200 milligram of CoQ10 every day. What's in CoQ10? It's actually animal organ meat. You don't taste it. It's just extracted and everything. But that's the thing that we don't get in our diets. People in our country throw it away. We don't even eat that stuff. But it's packed with so many nutrients, the B vitamins and everything else. It's one of those things where, as a matter of fact, daycares have their workers take it so that they don't catch colds. And I have not caught a cold, you know, since I started taking it years ago. And I tell everybody, this is what you got to do. And this is going to get you through COVID. You got to take it every day. And it's going to lower your blood pressure. And that's the problem I had, and that's how I hacked my way to figuring that out. It's just something that I figured out along the way, and I just troubleshot myself since I did that on aircraft for 30 years. I thought it was time to do that for myself because the doctors don't know everything. Unfortunately, they're not taught everything. They're not taught the anything logic-based. They're taught what they're taught, and that's what they know. But they don't understand how some parts of the body work. So my doctor would ask me, how did you do that? How did you get over that? Because I had IBS. It was the worst thing in the world. I've had a lot of things, but I lost 70 pounds because I couldn't get food out of my system. And it turns out there was a medication I was on for blood pressure. So I figured that out. You can do the same thing too. Like I said, health is everything. And, if I hadn't figured that out, I'd be wasting away, or years ago, I'd be in serious trouble. So thankfully, I'm healthy now, and I'm happy to have only my knees as an issue, so I can work through that. But other than that, we have so many opportunities ahead, and I think next 2022, by next November, things are probably going to be completely different, minus the, you know, the machines that vote for you and the people that are not supposed to vote. I think things are going to be awesome. Just my own thoughts, because I think people have had enough. Empty shelves and gas prices. Last week I mentioned I'd buy chicken wings raw, and I'd cook them maybe in the fryer or somewhere else in olive oil, of course. Well, the prices have skyrocketed, and they're actually down a little bit, but I can't really judge that. Like bacon was like $11, $12 a pack. I don't eat bacon. My wife does, but the point is everything skyrocketed little by little. So you have to make choices. What kind of choice you have to make to go to the supermarket are choices that you've never had before. And there's things you can't buy. It's like gasoline. You know, it costs us a lot of money just to drive down to Florida and back. The next state you go to is always higher than the last one. And then it's just the economics of today. Everything is high. Like food. Think about it. If you get a food order online and have it delivered to your house, then Uber Eats, their prices have steeply increased. We ordered a meal, it was like $79, and it was like $56 if you wouldn't pick it up. And that's my generation. I'm the kind of guy that picks it up. But for our younger generations, they like things delivered to the door, no matter how little, whatever. My daughter even order coffee, you know, some kind of coffee drinks. But that's not me. I can't imagine doing that. That's just me, you know. You always go get the stuff. It's not that far. But the point is, you can't operate in these kind of conditions in this economy for very long, you know. People are going to go out of business. And this is happening, and people aren't going to afford. But guess what? Walmart's going to be there. It's going to be there, you know, no matter what, because that's where they want you to go. Mom and pops are going to go under the more this continues. And people are going to close their doors because they can't stay afloat, because they can't make a profit, because it's unfair advantage. And, you know, these ships are supplying, you know, these big conglomerate stores and everything and these restaurants. You're just not going to see people with the power to stay there, to stay alive. So that's a huge problem, and that needs to be resolved. It's this economy, just like the truckers, the fuel prices and everything, you know, how long can this go? How bad is it going to get? When's it going to get better? Is it going to get better? I don't know. It's not going to, I mean, nothing's happening. Nothing's changing right now. Just because you dump some reserves into the supply, that does nothing. Like what, saves you 7 cents? And your gas is like almost $4, $3.75 a gallon for a regular? That doesn't help anybody. Open up the pipelines. There are solutions to everything I'm telling you. Open up the pipelines that you closed. Open up more pipelines. Shut the border. Get the ships in the ports. Why don't we become independent and not have to depend on China and these ships? Why? Because some of our congressmen and senators have money in it. That's why. So our leaders are failing us. Our leaders are our own enemies. Our leaders might as well be, you know, at some Skull Island with the white cat and, you know, petting it and everything, planning things. That's pretty much what they do. They own our stock market. They own our cities. They make the rules. They own our states. We have dictators who are governors, congressmen, senators, because they're making the killing. The salary they make in office, doesn't mean anything to them. They don't even need it. Like I said, I've heard a lot of rumors and a lot of, you know, people, actual people telling me, congressman, that congressman got paid $1 million. It's like a gift. These people are being bought left and right, day and night. That's why they're acting the way they are. Why do you think the weak Republicans who are not conservative, why do you think when they get to Congress, they turn, or if it hits their table, they don't act on it? We have a lot of leadership. When you're in leadership, you're bought, paid for, it seems like, and there's some people that are not, but a lot of them are. So when you get in there and, hey, we got a chance to do this, got a chance to do that, we can cancel this for good, they don't do it because they're told not to. Because other people control them. People more powerful. Some of them, as I was told, are actually threatened. They threaten their families. That's why you saw this big exodus in 2016. They were told to get out of office. People have that much power over them. Something's got to be done about it. Yet the congressmen and senators are not going over to the local prison to check on, well, very few of the 1-6 prisoners who have no cases, no court hearing, no anything. They have the power. You remember back in the old days when your congressman or senator had a lot of power and they could do things? Well, it doesn't work that way anymore. They're bought off. The news media's bought off. Pfizer's paying for them and their advertisements and everything. They're not going to say anything bad about it. I see something wrong here. This isn't how America works. This is not freedom of speech. And when Facebook comes and says, hey, you said something wrong, I could probably find one right now. Anybody talks about the vaccine or anything like that, we have censors. We have censorship with what we say on our opinions. Yet we have free speech, sort of. This is what makes a lot of people angry. We don't have free speech. What we have is a controlled media. All the way around Twitter, you get kicked off there. There's no such thing. I personally, I don't use that stuff. Thing I like is Telegram because there's a lot of good stuff on there. If you haven't checked it out or joined it, there's a lot of great information. So you have to realize that this country is captured. We are prisoners of the world government. Our money is from the world government. So this is so, it's got to be evil because the things that are happening right now are going in the direction of somebody's ideas. And we heard this telegraph by Gates, and we heard a telegraph by Fauci a year ahead of time that we're going to have this pandemic. And they always have the answer. Think about it. They know what's going to help us in their minds. And people believe them, and they go after them, and they think, this is great. He's our hero. A friend of mine actually says hero. Fauci is a hero. Her favorite doctor or whatever. But, you know, anybody who's been in government that long can't be any good. He's banana rotten right, in my opinion. And as a former federal employee, nobody stays in that long. Nobody gets to serve at that age or that many years. If you have black and white pictures from your job, then you've been there too long. But that's what he does. And it doesn't matter because he's there for an agenda. It just seems that way. I think it'd be a shame if it wasn't, because he's been around for so many projects and so many things, and he has memory. He can't remember the gain of function stuff he approved, but his department does, and yet he gets away with it. Things like that should not happen. That should be a scandal. Now scandals don't mean anything. Remember when scandals, you get caught in a boat with a woman and you're running for Congress, Mr. Hart, Gary Hart, I believe it was. then you leave in shame. Nobody does that anymore. I think Bill Clinton was the first, one of the first, to actually make that work. He remained president. He was impeached for, you know, something he should not have done, but he stayed in. People lie to get caught in lies, and that was the end of it. But not anymore. People don't have dignity. They don't have anything to keep them, you know, normal, to keep them like, you know, to keep them honest. So this is what really bothers me. So what we have to do, we have to figure some way. And I'm going to ask Mr. Ronald F. Owens about this. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bring on author Ronald F. Owens. And
hello, Kevin.
Good evening.
White.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, busy, but I'm doing well.
Good, good. Hey, everybody, Ronald is a fantastic author. He's got different publications out. I wish I could. Hey, write one for me. I'll sign you on. You're awesome. You want a book? We offer, you know, services. So if you think about that one day. But your books are amazing. He does modern day versions of Bible books, like Lazarus. It's really cool. I like what you do. So tell us, how are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. My apologies for missing the boat. Thank you for coming back to Peter and picking me up. I know I'm using nautical metaphors. I should be using Air Force metaphors or aeronautical metaphors since you're in the Air Force.
Right.
But, yeah, so, as any, you, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
No, I was going to share with your audience the past that led me to do what I'm doing. First
yes.
of all, I've been a Christian for many years, and at one time, Kevin, I had a speech impediment. I used to stutter, and
really?
I gravitated toward writing because you can't stutter when you're writing, and that was my way of communicating. So that's how lemonade was made from lemons.
Yeah, sounds good. Nice
yeah.
analogy. And you write
so yeah,
well.
Well, that's, you know, God gives us all gifts. You know, people sing, people share, people teach, preach. You're a great communicator. And the purpose of these gifts is to bless others. Our God gives us gifts to minister to the body. And so that's how I see what God has done for all of us. He's gifted all of us. And a lot of times the gifts that God gives us, we may not know what they are, or we might not know that we have a certain gifting until we go through stuff in our lives.
Right. Absolutely. And one thing I like about you is you have things, you bring up issues on your page that people jump in on and have discussions. I think that's awesome. And you bring them news. And
well,
and you sing. You're a singer.
Yes, I do sing. Yeah, I do use my Facebook page as a newspaper.
Yeah.
Back when I graduated from college during the mid-80s, I used to work at a employer. My job was to put together the newspaper for the readership of this trade association. And so that's what I basically developed. God used that situation to develop certain talents where you basically look at something. And you, if you hear a cat meow, it's my cat Ruth. If I don't feed her,
oh, that's cool.
she will be meowing throughout. true, be adding her two cents in. So as soon as I see her,
okay.
she will instantly be quiet. But, yeah, so basically God used that situation to help me write about the Bible. Because what I was doing on this particular job, it was at the California Newspaper Publishers Association, I would look at a particular story and rewrite it, summarize it for the readership. And I didn't know at that time, Kevin, that that's what God was training me to do regarding the Bible, that I would be basically looking at Scripture and, retelling it in a storybook kind of way.
Exactly.
So when I was sharing earlier that God gives us gifts, I didn't know that I had that gifting until I went through that very difficult situation. I mean, when I went to college, I graduated from college, I didn't know anything. But when I went on that job, that was the college that was a very, and I was working like 12, 15 hours a day doing what I was doing, but God was forging me to be the writer that I am today. So I would encourage people that whatever difficulty you're going through, sometimes we ask God to, Lord, this is difficult. Please bail me out. But if God had to bail me out at year one of that nearly 5-year experience, I would not have been the professional or the writer that I am today. So sometimes we have to go through those difficult experiences in order for God to forge us to be a better person or a better professional or make us just to be better.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. We all go through hard times. Some things I didn't think I'd ever get through, but I got through, and it made the difference in my life.
Yes, indeed. So basically, back in that, during the early 90s, my job was to put together the association's newspaper from beginning to end. I would get 8.5 by 11 pieces of paper and made a dummy and just basically sketch out, envision what the publication would look like. I had some 3 or 4 standard columnists. I had to place the ads. I had artwork, photographs, and just put, it was like a puzzle, okay. And then after that, I would interview the people. I would write the stories. I would edit it and have a couple of other people edit, because it's always good to have someone else edit your work. And desktop publishing was first being introduced in the workplace at that time. And Macintosh SE, I don't know if anybody remembered that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I used to have one.
That would put together a newspaper on PageMaker desktop publishing software. That goes back like the late 80s. And after that, I would take the run out the pages and take it to the, I forgot the name of the person that would actually take the picture and take that information to the printer, and they print it out, and I put my name on the mailing list, so when I received the paper in the mail, I knew that the readership received their newspaper in the mail as well. So yeah, from beginning to end, I would put together newspapers, and I thought about, man, would this be a great idea to do that with the Bible? You read Scripture, and then you retell the story in a newspaper format. And that's when the Lord spoke to me about developing a Bible newspaper, and I called that Bible newspaper the Testament Spectator. Old Testament, New Testament, and I was a spectator reporting on biblical events. So I would take Scripture, and I would reformat that Scripture, like, for example, the David and Goliath narrative in 1 Samuel. I would take that and basically develop a four-page newspaper from that particular biblical incident. And in that, I took some journalistic liberty by essentially crafting characters of that, but I was very careful in doing so that it would support Scripture. So I developed my David and Goliath edition in 1994, and I exhibited at the Church Leadership and Sunday School Convention that was held at Capital Christian Center in Sacramento. And I got really great response because no one had ever seen a Bible newspaper before. And to see David and Goliath in a newspaper, four-page newspaper, you can just pick up and read, it was just a very unusual-looking publication. Matter of fact, I had a Sacramento Bee cartoonist draw David Goliath illustration and put that on the front page. So that was
awesome.
I think I still even have that drawing somewhere around here. So
yeah,
that particular publication is called the
Testament
Spectator. I'm sorry.
Oh, this makes a lot of sense because I've seen your work and it's fantastic. It's amazing. It's just now you brought to life what you were doing in your career before, and I can understand that a little better now why you did it. And that makes a lot of sense. That's a lot of work you did.
Well, people can go to my website at ronaldfowensjr.com, and
Ronald
you can
F.
download jr.com.
Okay.
And anybody can download 1, 2, 3, or all 7 of those Testament Spectator editions at no cost. They're in PDF
awesome.
Format. So that's my gift for people who want to. Thank you. And I really miss putting together newspapers on computer. It's difficult to find the software these days. They shut down for some reason, PageMaker, and these PDFs that's available on my website is a result of that great desktop publishing software that I so miss, man, because it was so easy to work once I learned it.
Right. I totally understand because I used to have to make we used to work with PDF aircraft stuff. We had to make our own things, publications. It wasn't easy. It's not easy to use. But once you get used to it, then you have it. I got to ask you some questions. So how's things in California?
Okay.
How's the Constitution being followed out there?
God. You know what we're learning, Kevin? I have been guilty of this, saying that California is a blue state. But the election cheating that went on in the 2020 presidential election showed us that they've been cheating all along for years.
Yes.
And we just think that California is a blue state. Definitely the political leadership is. But the people, no, I don't think so. And I'll give
right.
an example. Something that happened about 2-3 years ago. I was walking around the Capitol on my lunch break. This is before COVID hit. And there's a gentleman who's a Facebook friend named Chauncey Killens. Matter of fact, he ran for governor during the gubernatorial recall election 2-3 months ago. So Chauncey was standing there, steps away from the south entrance of the Capitol, and he was exhibiting a pro-life message, or it might have been actually, no, it was pro-traditional marriage. He had like one of those placards over him, front and back. It reminded me, I went back several years ago when I used to see black men used to, that were marching with Martin Luther King Jr., I am a man. I don't know if you remember those images from the civil rights history. So Chauncey had this pro-traditional marriage, and I could tell he's a Christian. I walked up to him and we started talking, and I befriended him, and I asked him after I got to know him better, what kind of reaction was he getting from the motorists that were driving by or the other pedestrians? Because I surely thought, hey, California is a blue state, and he might be looked at with scorn or whatever. But he surprisingly said that a vast majority of people agreed with him, supported him. They mouthed, thank you. They were giving thumbs up. He says a minority of people were upset at him. So that goes to show you that the people who are middle-class folks, they've been bludgeoned by political correctness, by Hollywood,
right,
by the liberal media, by the politicians. They hold centrist to right views, not centrist to left views. And so fast forward to last year when the recall election was approved, I went to the Secretary of State website and I looked at where the majority of the recall signatures were signed, what county, and you know what the county had the most recall signatures?
No.
Want to take a guess?
I have no idea. I was born there. I don't really know too much about California.
Los Angeles County.
L.A. County.
The
only county I really know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's crazy.
Los Angeles County had the – yeah. Because people think, oh, Los Angeles County. Oh, Los Angeles County controlled by the Democrats. So that county had the most recall – yeah. So the recall election happened, and Newsom supposedly won by a 2-1 margin. I don't think so.
Yeah,
Kevin.
You don't. Right, I don't either. Because one of my guests on there, and for governor, I have one of my guests, yes. And they're upset about it because the numbers changed like in a flash. They switched.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was Rhonda Barron.
There were several people that ran for governor. I don't remember her name specifically, but I do remember Chauncey Slim Killens. I do remember his name because he's the guy that signaled to me that the vast majority of people do support traditional marriage. And you know, that reminds me.
Me
that we – you have to go?
Yeah, we have 14 seconds left. No,
okay.
No, this is the end of the show. So thank you for coming on. We're having you on again. We got to do that.
Yes.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night. You can stay on the line.
Okay.